All righty. Well, we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And I'd like to share on the subject of growing in God's Word. Growing in God's Word. Life in and of itself involves growth. We see it in plants. I don't know anybody that has a garden is satisfied once they plant the seed, that it just stays at that same size the entire spring or fall, summer. Or if they get the little pre-started ones, you know, whatever they are, the little baby ones, that it stays that size. I don't know, anybody says, I'm just so happy everything's staying the same. But we see it in plant life. We see it in animals. Animals start little, and some of them get pretty big, like an elephant, you know. We see it in humans with babies. Like, we got some little kids here. Like, Truman is about that size, I guess. But if Truman was 12 years old and he was that size, it wouldn't seem right. But as a 1-year-old, 2-year-old, you know, that's not bad. But 12-year-old, 22-year-old, we see it all the time. Babies turn into toddlers, toddlers turn into little kids turn into bigger kids turn into teenagers, and then watch out. Then they turn into young adults, you know. There comes a point where we stop growing height-wise, and then maybe start going the other way, the other dimension. So, especially if you get pregnant. So anyway, but life does involve growth. And if there is no growth, we would think something's wrong with that. To a certain degree. Now look at Luke chapter 1 verse 80. This is referring to John the Baptist. We all know who he was. And verse 80 says, "And the child grew and waxed or became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." Obviously, as a man who's spoke for God, and he was the one who God called out to identify who the Christ was, he obviously grew from that little baby when he came out of the womb of Elizabeth, grew to a man who spoke for God and was able to point out the Christ. That's pretty cool. Let's go to chapter 2 of Luke, verse 40. Now, growing physically is something that does happen automatically, right? I mean, it's not like when we were 5 years old, we kept saying, okay, with every bite, I'm going to grow, I'm going to grow. I mean, you may realize that eating could help that, but we're going to grow physically no matter what. I mean, it's just the way it is. Plants grow on their own. I mean, you can help them along with fertilizers and other things, but they're going to grow. It's an automatic response to the way God set up life. And we see that with our bodies physically. Chapter 2, verse 40, this is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Am I in the right spot?
Yep, sure.
I am. Okay, and verse 52. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." So there was an increase, there was a growth. And as we know, as the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean as the Redeemer, he obviously grew. He wasn't born with the knowledge of who he was, what he was going to do. He heard it, grew in the knowledge of it, grew in an understanding, grew in an application of God's word. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. So physical growth happens automatically, basically. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now there is such thing as spiritual growth. We get born again of God's Spirit. We have everything that's available to have at the moment we get born again. You know, we get whatever spirit it is, we get the full enchilada. We get all rights and privileges. That's all in the very beginning. what the growth is there is in our understanding of what we have and in a utilization or an application of what we have. That's where the growth is. And that isn't automatic, as we know. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, referring to getting born again, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And we got everything that was available to get at that very moment. And then in chapter 2, verse 2, there's a directive for young believers. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that reason being, that you may grow thereby. As we, when we get born again, then we start hearing what God's word says, and we start taking the milk of the word. We start feeding on that, and that causes growth. Our understanding of who God is, what he's done, what he will do, continues to grow. I mean, any of us, when we first popped out of the womb, knew about Jesus Christ or about God or who he was, or even knew who our parents were. None of us. We were all just crybabies. We didn't know nothing. But somewhere along the line, we started hearing and believing and moving with certain information. And the same thing goes with God's word. We hear it and we believe it and we start utilizing it in our lives. Chapter 2 we went to, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. So this type of growth isn't automatic. It's something that we have to choose to do. It doesn't happen automatically. Because you can get born again of God's Spirit and know nothing about God the rest of your life, or do nothing with his word the rest of your life. It doesn't happen automatically. Physical growth happens automatically. No matter what you do as a five-year-old, you're going to keep growing as long as you're still breathing. You're going to get whatever height you're going to get there. Just the way it is, despite your own stupidity sometimes. Chapter 3, verse 18 says, it's a directive for us to do. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this growth just does not happen automatically. Let's go to chapter 4 of Ephesians. It's a growth that happens because you want it to happen. You choose for it to happen. It's a free will decision. And growth happens when you make that choice and start doing the things that cause a growth. Ephesians chapter 4, we see some actions here. And in verse 14, it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, this is referring to the body of Christ, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, which is referring to each member in that body of Christ, supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase or causes growth of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's pretty obvious that God's choosing or will for our lives is that we increase and that we grow. We really would look kind of goofy. We're still like 16 inches tall and crawling on the floor at our age, right? And we don't want to be that way from the spiritual side either. We don't want to be babes forever. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. You know, we're no longer to be children tossed to and fro. Chapter 2. Verse 2 says, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's how we used to walk, and if we walk according to the word of God, that required a change, right? We used to go on the roller coaster, maybe, and we got off that worldly roller coaster, and we start walking on God's word. It requires a growth and a change. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. This growth does require a change. We can't say we're walking God's word and still doing all the things we used to do before we got born again. It's not available. Some things, like eating. You can keep doing that. Drinking fluids. Acts chapter 2. I thought we'd look at a couple of records in the book of Acts where there was a growth in the believers' lives. And it's just as examples to us. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, this is referring to the day of Pentecost, as you know. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. These apostles knew that they were going to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, promise of the Father. What they didn't know is they didn't know when, they didn't know where, and they didn't know how. But they knew they were going to receive it soon, because before Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem, because soon you're going to receive. So they knew it was coming, but that's really all they knew. So they stayed faithful to what they had already understood of God's word, and the day finally came. And they could have been in that temple and said, I've never received the Holy Spirit before, so I don't think I can do it. I don't think this is for me. They could have, but they didn't. They chose to continue doing what they needed to do until they received that promise of Holy Spirit. They just kept putting themselves in that position of being able to receive. And then as we know, you know, they spoke in tongues, and it kind of caused a stir among the people who heard them. And they were all amazed, it says, and they were wondering what the heck is going on. And verse 12, it says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And others, mocking, said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, referring to those apostles, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell of Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. And then he goes on and teaches things concerning the gift of Holy Spirit, about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, about David, the receiving the Holy Spirit, and that was a great growth for Peter and the apostles that day. They got born again. They spoke in tongues. And Peter stands up and speaks. How many thousands of people were there? That we don't know. There were, say, about 3,000 that got born again at the end that heard and believed. There may have been a lot more that heard and didn't believe. Who knows? But how many times did Peter do that before that day? Stand up in front of thousands and speak boldly about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was his first time. Yeah. That was a growth. He could have said, I don't think I can speak in front of 3,000 people. I don't think, John, what do you think? Mark, what do you want to do? He could have, but he decided to stand up. But they all stood up. Peter spoke on behalf of all. They were in one accord. But he could have, they all could have said, I don't know about this stuff. But they chose, and that's why I say growth, it it's a free will decision. They put themselves in that spot and they grew. Let's look at chapter 3. I remember when I first got the word, I went to fellowship. We went to fellowship every night. But when I moved back from college to this area, there were believers living in this area. And some of them would, they said, hey, you want to go witnessing with us? So I said, sure. I wanted to go. I was praying, I hope they don't show up and pick me up. I was like, I want to go, but scared stiff. Because we were going to go from house to house, just knock on doors, and people answer the door and start speaking the word. And I had witnessed to people before and helped people get in the word, but that was new to me. You know, just, that was tough enough to speak to people, let alone knocking on the door. So I remember kind of like, it was a mixed prayer. But I went and I put myself in that position and I grew thereby. I grew physically, I mean spiritually. This is Acts 3. This is a great record of healing. Verse 1, we'll just read part of it. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Now this guy was there every day for years. And Jesus Christ most likely passed by this beautiful gate, temple. Temple gate, beautiful. You know, I'm sure he heard of the healings that Jesus Christ did. It was, you know, it does say the whole region knew about what Jesus Christ did. And he's still lame. And every day he's like, gets there, sits there, gets carried back home. Next day, carried there, sits there, goes back home. And someday, somewhere along the line, he got in his head, I want to change. I really want healing. And there came a point in his life where he was going to believe for healing. Verse 3 again, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. There was a change in his life. Because Jesus Christ could have healed him when he walked by. Could have. But there was no revelation to heal him. The guy just wasn't ready to expect to receive. Maybe he had still believed in his head that, well, my feet have no strength, my legs have no strength, I can't walk. And he believed that. It says he was over 40 years old. Later on it says he's over 40 years old. So he certainly could reason at 40 years old. Yeah, my legs aren't working. But there came a point where he changed his mind and he was wanting to get healed. He wanted to get that healing. He was expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, I've never done this before. I'm a little scared. You're going to have to wait another day. No. Peter's growing just as much as anybody here. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Wow. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into or with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. What a remarkable day. The guy changed. He finally said, I'm gonna get healed. I've heard of it. It can happen to me. Peter, he saw Jesus Christ do this a lot, right? Remember that old song, you can do it, I can do it too? Well, it's really old. Well, anyway, There's a scripture we know in John 14:12. Who can quote it? Somebody in here can quote that scripture. 14:12, things that I do, shall you do also.
Also, greater works than these shall you do, because they belong to my Father.
Right, Jesus Christ talking about the works that I do, you shall do also. Spoke right to those believers. And greater works than these. So he knew what Jesus, he saw Jesus Christ do, he could do too. And he did. So when he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That guy could have said, hey, don't you get it? I can't walk. You know, thanks for telling me, but I can't walk. He could have. He could have stayed stuck in that spot. But he chose to change and grow. A little baby can't say, I'm not going to grow. No matter what you do, even if you don't feed them much, they're going to grow. They're going to, you know, get to a certain height no matter what. But spiritually, we can stunt ourselves and say, I can't do that. I'm not used to doing that. I've never done that before. A lot of things we've never done before. So, Peter didn't look at it that way. He thought, Jesus Christ did it. Jesus Christ said, I could do it. And he had the authority, so he jumped in and did it. Just terrific examples to us. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Terrific growth for these people. And we can too. We can grow as fast as we choose to grow. We just have to place ourselves in situations that promote that growth. One of which is put the word on in our mind. Remember, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We're going to go back to Acts chapter 4, the end of that whole section. Peter and John got arrested, and the religious leaders didn't like what was going on, and they challenged them to not speak anymore. And verse 7 of chapter 4. In the wrong spot here. It says, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name you have done this. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And it goes on to tell them. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He put himself in that position, and God started working in him to what to say. And verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They were acting like Jesus Christ was acting like. They said, man, they were just like Jesus Christ. And that's because they took what Jesus Christ said and walked on it. They believed it. When Jesus Christ told them that they could do the things that he did, they did that. Now we're going to go to Acts chapter 8. I mean, just like it with teaching God's word, I'm not a master teacher, obviously, in any regard, but I have a desire to share God's word, and I just put myself in positions to do so. And we all have, I do have a long suit and jokes. I have to admit that. But I mean, we just all want to grow. We all have a function in the body of Christ, and maybe that function you haven't ever done before. But so what? Other things we haven't done before. We just do, you know, we believe what the promise of God is and move forward whether we ever done it before or not. Here's a record. I don't know if this guy ever did what we were going to read before this time, but this is Philip. You know what Philip's name was after he'd eat lunch? Mm-hmm. Full up.
Full.
It went from Philip to full up. Anyway, verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. How many people were with him? Doesn't say anybody else went with him. It just says Philip went down. went to a city, perhaps by himself, and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. There comes a point where you have to do, you know, you do your first miracle, right? I mean, there was a point where Jesus Christ did his first miracle. Philip, somewhere along the line, did his first miracle. You know, he didn't say, I'm not used to this. I can't do this. I've never done it before. He didn't. He went into that city, spoke the word, and things started happening. Verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Certainly was worth his effort. Look at the joy that was going on there. But just, you know, he didn't come out of the womb like that. When he got born again, he didn't just all of a sudden do something like go into a city by yourself and preach the word and cast out devil spirits and heal people. But there was a first time, a very first time, and he went. But he put himself in that position. He could have said, I don't know if I want to do that. Let's go to Acts chapter 12. One thing that would hold us back from wanting to do stuff like that is fear. Fear of what somebody else would think, fear that you wouldn't succeed, or fear that somebody would mock you, or whatever. Acts chapter 12, verse 24, the word of God was continuing to be spoken, and people were believing it and growing thereby. And it says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. The word of God grew and multiplied. It doesn't mean there was more scriptures being added. And the words in the page didn't get bigger. It basically shows that the word of God in people's lives was growing and it was multiplying. It's not that the word itself got any more powerful or bigger. I mean, God's word stays the same. It doesn't grow. But it will grow in people's hearts and in the application of people's lives. Similarly, let's go to Acts 19. 19, verse 20. This is where we want to be in our lives. Acts 19, verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Again, it's that growing in the individual's lives. It's not that God's word got bigger. You know, the signs on the side post on the street, signs got bigger. It's that it got bigger in those people's lives to the point it prevailed. That's pretty cool. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Can God force us to grow? No. He chose to set it up this way, where we grow at our choosing and at the pace we want to go. So we choose what pace we want to go. But God does desire that we grow. chapter 1, verse 9 gives us a clue at what God's desire is for our lives. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and staying in the same, now increasing in the knowledge of God or the acknowledgement of God. Increasing. There's a growth that God desires of our lives. But it does require a change. It definitely requires a change. Because you can't walk the ways of the world and grow in the scriptures and grow with God at the same time. It requires a change. And so if you're scared of change, you're going to stunt your growth. Just kind of the way life is. I don't know any of these little kids that are saying, I'm scared of growing to 3 feet. I'm scared to grow to 4 feet. they just grow. I mean, they're really not concerned about how tall they're getting or whatever, you know, or whatever. It's just, we want to just grow and not allow fear to hold us back or lack of interest or whatever. I don't think Philip had a bad time when he went to Samaria and saw those people get healed. He didn't say, man, this is as boring as it gets. Or Peter on the day of Pentecost, man, that was so boring, just speaking in tongues and being at the temple and being born again. I'm sorry they didn't say that. It's not boring, it's exciting. So, but that change will not come automatically. God doesn't push the word into our brains. He doesn't push the words out of our mouth. He doesn't force us to think, oh, I'd like to minister healing if this person is ready. And he doesn't force us. It's a growth from within. And so we choose, and it's a daily thing. I mean, we've all grown in God's word. But we don't want to rest on what we did in the past. Like, I'm really not going to live today's eating on last week's eating. I want to eat the meals today. Last week's meals were great, but I want more today. If Susan said, hey, look, you ate last week, I think there'd be a divorce. No. Then maybe that's how restaurants came about. But I don't know. I mean, we want to keep feeding on God's word. Last week's feeding was great, but we still need new feeding each day. And growth, you know, God's desire is we continue to grow. John the Baptist didn't get to a point where he can, before God and all Israel, say, there's the Redeemer. That guy is the Christ. That took some growth, right? It took some growth for Jesus Christ to say, I'm the Son of God. So we just continue to grow. And there's plenty of room for us to grow. I don't know if anybody's arrived yet. We'll arrive when the Lord Jesus Christ arrives. Till then, we continue to grow and move with the things of God. So, and it's a joy to be able to do so. So.